Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Gerda, Gerda Weissman Klein is a woman who lived in Europe before, during, and some after World War II. She was a Jewish woman. She is a Jewish woman. She lives in the United States now. She was awarded the Presidential Medal of Honor some years ago, and she's written many books, including this one called All But My Life, that recounts her time living in several of the concentration camps that existed in and through Europe during the middle part of our century, the last century. In one of her books, I can't remember if it's in this one exactly, but in one of her books, she tells a story about her friend Ilse. She says Ilse was her childhood friend who one day found a raspberry in the camp, found it on the ground in the dirt, and Ilse took that raspberry and kept it so that later that day she could give it to Gerda, her friend, as a gift presented on a small leaf. As I think about this story, this little snippet of a story, I imagine a world in which your entire possession, except for perhaps the rags that make up your clothing, your entire possession in life is a raspberry. And your thought is to give that as a gift to a friend. Actually, it's true that hardly any of us can truly imagine this situation. Hardly any of us have had the experience of knowing and experiencing true poverty, true helplessness, true complete inability to provide for oneself and to have anything of importance in life. That's difficult, I think, for us to imagine, and yet we know and we see that those experiences continue to exist today. So on the one hand, the story of Ilse and her raspberry is one of scarcity, but is also one of abundance. In our world, choice and privilege seems to reign the day. Our blessings that we talk about have to do with those things that we're able to choose, that we're able to have because we are blessed to be able to pick and choose of the many different things in our world that make our lives good. Blessings are these choices and privileges that we've come accustomed to. And yet even choice, even the task of choosing can be a burden. Because as we decide to choose one over another, we run into the conundrum of recognizing that, what if I chose the wrong thing? Not essentially wrong, but a choice that I will regret tomorrow. What if the choices I made yesterday, I find today I wish I could go back and make a different choice? In fact, social scientists tell us that in lives that include more opportunities for choice, there is actually in those people's lives more indecision and more anxiety because of the task of having to make choices and having to live with the consequences of those choices, for better or worse. Gerda, her friend Ilse, certainly had a choice. She had a choice to take that raspberry and eat it. No one would have blamed her for that in the situation she was in. She had the choice to destroy it, perhaps, and to lower herself to the state of mind that her captors had. She had the choice, perhaps, to save it, not for her friend, but for herself. Perhaps maybe save it until that moment when Ilse knew that she couldn't possibly go another moment without something to sustain life and to give hope. And yet, in this moment, Ilsa chooses generosity. In fact, I think it's probably the case that Ilsa's choice of generosity came about long before she ever found that little raspberry on the ground in the dirt. Ilsa chose generosity as a motivating factor in her life, so that when it came time for this raspberry to come into her possession, she knew exactly what she wanted to do with it. Generosity, it seems, eliminates the stress of choosing. Generosity eliminates that question in our minds of what to do or the consequences of having to deal with those choices in life. You see, stress isolates us. Stress and the insistence that we have on trying to choose the things in our world that will make our lives the best that they can be ends up isolating us and removing us from the opportunity to share with one another. It compels us to be disconnected from people, and it eliminates the opportunity for us to be able to be generous with others. And yet, we find that God chooses generosity, uses generosity both to select us out of the mire of this world, but also to present us back to the world as a gift. And why do I tell you all this? It's because I think in both the Isaiah text that we heard today and in the gospel text about Jesus calling those first disciples, this message of generosity seems to stream through. In Isaiah 49 that we heard today, God is about the business of choosing one who will be God's servant, one who will be called what we call today the suffering servant. God chooses this servant, or maybe multiple servants, depending on how you read the text and understand it playing out in our world today even. God chooses this servant, calls that servant, and gifts that servant with the kinds of things that that one needs to be able to do the task that is ahead of them for God. And the result of all of this is that in our text today, we hear that this servant, this one who is called by God, this one who is gifted by God, isn't just gifted for and in and of themselves, but is gifted for the sake of a world that will be a light to the nations, that will be like each of us are called to be, like these lights make light for us in our world, in our lives, lights for the dark places in our world, lights for the opportunity to shine on injustice and bring hope and salvation. Jesus does a similar kind of thing. When, according to the Gospel of John, Jesus comes about and as people begin to follow him, the likes of Andrew come to follow him, they ask him, he says to them, come and see. And in that invitation to come and see is not just the opportunity to come, but do you see in the likes of Andrew the opportunity not just to come and receive, but also the opportunity to step back out, to go to his brother, this one who will become known as Peter. Andrew receives the light, but then also shines the light back into the world, continuing that call and continuing that opportunity to come and see. And life is transformed, even as we know that in the calling of Jesus is implied that opportunity to go and to serve. It seems as if God's invitation is the generosity that we need. The opportunity that God enters into our minds and our bodies and speaks to us even today, this word, come and see what is happening in the world, in the church, in our opportunity to gather together. God issues this invitation, and that invitation becomes a gift of generosity. that we have the opportunity to share, that we have the opportunity to be and do in the world. It's what is spoken in our baptism as this water splashes over us, not just once upon a time, way back when perhaps we didn't even know what was happening to us, but again today, as this water splashes in and through us, as we go out into our world to splash some of that water on others. Or as we come to this table today and receive these gifts, this morsel of food and this little sip of drink, and yet that little bit being enough for us to feel energized and compelled and gifted to go out into our world. How is it that a suffering servant or a simple disciple of one called long ago, or a little bit of water, or a little bit of bread and wine, how is it that these little gifts of God could well up in us to be the source of life and inspiration and hope for a world, particularly a world that includes a fair share of darkness, except that the kingdom of God is like a raspberry found in a desolate, dry place of death, and yet taken and kept for the opportunity to be given to a friend, and thus becoming the power of everlasting life. You are the raspberry. You are the light. You are the gift of God found and preserved in this world, so that as you are gifted out into our world, into your families, into your community, into your jobs, at your school, among your friends, perhaps even to the ends of the earth, you might be that gift of life that remains. Thanks be to God. Amen.